Leviticus chapter 13. And I've got a message on my heart tonight that I know, just the fact that it's the Word of God, I know that it'll be a help and a blessing to us, just being the Word of God. Amen. And it'll always help us when we are in the Word. But this message will probably just kind of be a reminder of some things, but it will also help you kind of in your Bible study too, I believe. And so let's look at a couple verses here, and I just want to read a couple verses and then give you the message, the thought the Lord's put on my heart tonight. Leviticus chapter 13, and look with me in verse number 45. Read a couple verses here. It says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and for the service tonight. Thank you for the good songs that's been sung, the good specials. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all those that are saved by your grace here tonight, that we know the love of God. And Lord, truly no one can know anything before we know the love of God. Lord, I thank you that the love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for loving us and saving us and giving us a church in these days. And Lord, letting us, Lord, have a Bible and the sweet Holy Spirit of God that guides us into all truth. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us now as we've come to this time of preaching. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would, Lord, once again, guide us into all truth. And Lord, you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And Lord, I pray for that soul that might be lost among us tonight, that, Lord, they'd be saved. And Lord, I pray that eternity would be changed. I pray that you'd work in the lives of your people, that we'd be drawn close to thee. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be. And well, thank you for the work you do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we look at these two verses, I didn't read all of it, but I mean, you could back up and you could really read, the previous several verses or even really the whole chapter. And what you would find is, just like much of Leviticus, there's a lot of laws and commands being given. And right here in this particular passage, if he was to back up really specifically from kind of like verse 38 on down, he's with specific things, and then kind of really even the whole chapter is dealing with a topic, the topic of leprosy. Really the whole chapter, all of chapter 13, and it's all the different little details of examining the plague and examining this spot and examining that spot. And if it looks like this, well, then the person's clean. But if it looks like that, then the person's unclean. And I didn't read all the verses from 38 to where we are now, because it talks about a lot of baldness and talks about being bald and forehead bald. And I feel like that might really kill the service just because of who we got, some of the ones we got in the service, you know. And so I didn't deal with that tonight. And, you know, some things, you know, you're supposed to preach the whole counsel, but you just got to be careful on some things, you know. And so anyways, but really that, in all seriousness, that's what he's dealing with. He's dealing with leprosy. And I mentioned before, you know, even, you know, praying that kind of some opening remarks that this message would help you some in your Bible study. Probably if you are following a reading plan this year and you're reading X amount of chapters a day or whatever, you're probably pretty close to this passage. You're probably either going to read it here pretty soon, read through this chapter pretty soon, or you maybe already just read through it, because this is going to be pretty close to in line with probably about where you'd be in a year-long Bible reading plan. And I hope you're doing that. I really do. Now, that's not the only way to read the Bible, but it's a good way. Just make sure you don't just go through the Bible. Make sure it goes through you. Amen. And I say it'll help you in your Bible study because, first of all, we all ought to be students of the Bible.
You hear preachers make comments about students of the Word, like students of the Word say this, or students of the Bible say that. Well, anytime that comment's made, that ought to include you. You're not talking about theologians up in ivory towers of every education. Listen, the students of the Bible ought to be right here. We all ought to be students of the Word and study the Word. There's nothing positive that could ever be said about someone who is saved by the grace of God and doesn't know their Bible. I didn't get as many amens there as I should have, but that is right. Amen. Especially someone that's been saved for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Listen, if you've been saved any length of time, you ought to know this Bible. Amen. You ought not have to rely on somebody else to always spoon feed you the Word of God. Amen. Listen, I heard Brother Alfred Willis one time many years ago preach a message and talk about babies in the church, you know. One point he made was that, you know, grown-ups, adults, when a person matures, they feed themselves. People always talk about how they're not fed. Well, the preacher don't feed me, and that don't feed me. Well, listen, adults feed themselves. Babies have to be fed. Adults feed themselves. And you, if you're ever going to mature spiritually, you're going to get to the point where you, to some degree, can feed yourself. Now, you'll always get across this pulpit and across, in church, what you won't get anywhere else. God will say things to you through His men. They are a gift to the church. Amen. I tell you, well, you're really learn to know God, and where you'll really grow in your walk with God is going to be in your prayer closet. It's going to be in your private time alone with God, where you read your Bible, where you study, where you pray, where you walk. That's where God's really going to talk to you. And so you need to know your Bible. And if you don't, if you've not, I mean, I don't guess any of us really know as much as we should. Amen. But listen, if you've not been a student of the Word, make today that day. Amen. Before the service is over, get in the altar and confess it to God as sin. Now, Lord, I've not read and known my Bible enough, but by your grace, from this day forward, I'm going to be in that Word. Amen. Because you ought to be a student of the Word. And one thing to know as a student, there's a lot of things you learn as you learn the Bible. You learn what different things are pictures of and types of in the Old Testament. You learn a lot of that as you go. And one of the main things that you will learn is that all throughout the Scripture is that this topic of leprosy is almost always a picture of sin. And it's good to know these things. Because it helps you to see what the big picture of the Scripture is. Amen. Listen, whenever God's given these laws about leprosy, He's not just talking about just the disease in and of itself. Listen, there is a deeper, bigger meaning, and it's all alluding back to the major disease that man has, the major spiritual disease of sin. And leprosy is a picture of sin in the Word of God. Jesus Himself, after He had arose, before He ascended on the road to Emmaus, you remember that He expounded to all of His disciples all the things in the law and the prophets. The Bible says, concerning Himself. In other words, all this in the Old Testament, it's not written just, you know, as a history record. No, this is all pointing toward Christ and our need for Him and our problem, which is sin. I mean, it's the gospel. You'll find the gospel in the Old Testament. Amen? And so man's major problem is sin, and leprosy is a picture of sin. And as you read, as you study, with all that in mind, you'll begin to see those pictures. You'll be able to see what God's really talking about. Amen? So leprosy, as described in the Bible, is a picture of sin. And in our verses here, there are some requirements that God is laying out here for someone who has leprosy. And it gives really, especially verse number 45, it really gives this kind of a fourfold picture of the effect of sin on a person. And that's what I want to look at tonight. Tonight I want to look at this thought of what sin really looks like. It's easy in 2024, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more wicked the society we're living in gets, it's easy to forget what sin really looks like. Because we're in a society and we're in a day that glorifies it. that makes it look good, that makes it look, you know, appealing, and makes it, you know, looks glamorous, and makes it look, you know, like, it, you know, it really the best life to live is the life of sin, you know? I mean, we're in a society, we're in a world that really makes anything godly, anything the world would call traditional. Now, when they say traditional, a lot of times what they mean is biblical. They talk about traditional marriage, what they mean is biblical marriage. Traditional home, what they mean is biblical home, right? And the world that we're living in would cast anything traditional or biblical, anything that it would be God's way, casts it in a negative light. As if, I mean, it's just so miserable. I mean, you just listen to the average person, the average, you know, way of thinking in the world. Listen, I mean, the average way of thinking, you know, makes it out like, you know, if you, you know, get married and bear children and live for God, I mean, your life is just over. I mean, it's just the worst mistake you'd ever make, you know? I mean, how many guys are, how many men out there that have talked about, you know, trading that old sports car they had when they was a teenager to, you know, I sold that car to get married. Worst trade I ever made, you know. You hear guys say dumb stuff like that. And I tell you who says stuff like that? Losers. Losers say stuff like that. Losers say things like, yeah, I traded that really nice sports car I had to get married and have kids. You know, I wish I had the sports car back, you know. Losers say stuff like that. Because listen, real living is whenever you live for God. Amen. And you have a home, and you have a good spouse, and you got children, and you sit on the pew at church together, and you pray together. I mean, that's the real fulfilled life. A sports car will never fulfill you like them things. Amen. And so I'm just saying, it's just the fact that is the mentality. That's the way of thinking in this world, this society we're in. And if you're not careful, that can creep into your thinking. You'll begin thinking that, you know, the way Hollywood portrays the life of sin is that maybe it really is glamorous. I believe on my heart that's why some people are just flat out walking away from the Lord. Walking away from good homes. I remember, I guess it was last year maybe, or the year before. I mean, it was almost unbelievable, all the good homes and good marriages that of people we knew personally and were connected to that just busted. I mean, it busted up. And it was almost the same scenario playing out over and over and over again. Seemingly good families, doing it right, serving God, trying to raise godly kids, you know, and seem to have a good, solid home life and everything. And just out of nowhere, the wife just makes up her mind. She's just going to make a 180-degree turn and just go the other way. And they start like living like they're in college again, you know. They want to go out and party and drink and act like they're teenagers. And they're like 40-year-old women, you know. I mean, what are you doing? I tell you what I think some of it is. They see nonstop the Instagram life, and they see nonstop the Hollywood life. They see nonstop the social media life, where it looks so great out there, and then you start comparing it to where you are, and it's almost like that's all painted up to look so much better out there than what this looks like, what God's given me right here. And can I tell you, it is a lie. It is a lie. When you look at with the way the Bible describes sin and the way the Bible uses leprosy as a picture of sin, well, I tell you what you get. You get a picture of what sin really looks like. What it really looks like. I read something just the other day, and it was talking about the reality of like the mob life versus the way Hollywood portrays it in like mobster movies. Like the real gangster life versus the way gangsters are portrayed in movies, and how they are so romanticized, and that life is so romanticized in Hollywood movies and films and all, but how the reality of the gangster and the mobster life is such a hard life, and nobody really cares about you. And I mean, your best friends are actually your worst enemies the most time. People, they're stabbing one another in the back all the time, and everyone's looking over their shoulder all the time. And I mean, just the reality. Reality of what it really is versus the way it's portrayed by Hollywood. And can I tell you that the reality of sin versus the way it's portrayed by the world, the flesh, and the devil is always two totally different things. Two totally different things. There's a kind of a fourfold picture of the effect of sin on somebody here. And I'm just going to give these to you really quick, then I'm going to go through and kind of comment on each of them. But right here in this verse, First of all, we see the sacrifice from sin that is seen in the clothes that are torn. And then the sorrow from sin is seen in the capless head here. And then the shame from sin is seen in that covered lip. And then the soiling from sin is seen in that cry of unclean, unclean. And I want to look at all four of these and mention a few things, and then we'll be done tonight. First of all, I want you to think about the sacrifice from sin. The very first thing that he says and that God commands in verse 45, it says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent." There is sacrifice involved in sin, and sacrifice involved in the life of sin. Now, the leper, the one who had the plague of leprosy, they had to walk in rags, literally, because they had to. It was commanded by God for them to tear their clothes. Now, if that's not a picture of sin, I don't know what is. Because think about this. They've got perfectly good clothes. Perfectly good clothes, and yet because of this disease, they must, those clothes that are perfectly good clothes have to be torn to rags. Such is the nature of sin. What sin does to people is will take a perfectly good life and take all the perfectly good things in your life, and before you know it, it'll be rags. All the perfectly good things. Listen, a lot of people, I mean, think about the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It never says living for God's hard, but it does say the way of the transgressor is hard, right? And so you think about the people that you've seen and know. Think about like the before and after pictures of the person who before they were on meth versus after they were on meth. You ever seen those pictures? Or before drugs versus after drugs? Or I mean, and it's not just drugs. It's really any sin. The way of the transgressor. Transgression is hard on you. It is hard on your body. And it shows up. I tell you, a lot of people have had perfectly good, perfectly healthy bodies, perfectly healthy lives, and sin has torn it all to shreds. And they've lost their health. They've lost their home. They've lost their car. They've lost their job. Listen, they've lost their relationship. They've lost their testimony. Lost their good standing in church. Lost their good standing before God. I'm telling you, it'll take perfectly good things and it will ruin them. Ruin them. The torn clothes picture the cost of sin. Because that plague cost that leper his perfectly good clothes. It cost him. The old saying is that sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you wanted to pay. And it cost this leper his perfectly good clothes, and now he's got to live his life in rags. See, sin always extracts a price. Hollywood and society makes it out like the only way to get ahead in life is to live that way, but the truth is, it actually is going to cost you. And you'll sacrifice a whole lot by sinning in your life, living a life of sin. It's going to cost you. Listen, if there's anybody here tonight and you've got something in your heart, something you're thinking about doing, there's some sin you're considering, just let me tell you, it's going to cost you. If you're thinking about going that way and it's out there and the temptation is there and you're weighing it out and you're trying to decide, I'm going to let you know, the devil and this world in your flesh will tell you it will not, no one will ever know, no one will ever find out, it'll be just fine, nothing bad will happen. I'm telling you, it's going to cost you. One of these days, it will cost you. See, you will sacrifice a lot in the sin life. It extracts the price. You'll sacrifice much by sinning. It's going to cost you. It's just like Luke 15, the prodigal son. He wasted, the Bible says, his substance with riotous living. All right? Now the Bible, every word in this Bible is exactly what God wants it to be. And God didn't say he spent his substance on riotous living. You notice that? No, God said what he wanted to say, and God spoke the truth right there. He said he wasted his substance with riotous living. So you notice the word waste. There again, perfectly good substance. Nothing wrong with the substance. But because it was spent on sin, it was wasted. Sin took it all from him. He wasted it on sin. And of course, the worst cost is to anyone who ever would lose their soul. Amen? That's the worst cost of all. Any sinner that would not just lose their testimony or lose their good standing or lose the things God's blessed them with, but would lose their soul. Like Jesus said in Mark 8, for what shall it profit man if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul. So, sin, with sin, there is a sacrifice. Amen. And that, by the way, that's big sins and little sins. Listen, there's things, there's measures that have to be taken. There's, you know, things are put in place, like church discipline, things like that, to deal with gross, what we call gross sin in people's lives. Right? And listen, even though all of, you know, all of us, even though you or me or whoever, even though we may not have gross sin in our life, listen, even a little sin's going to cost you. Listen, there's a lot of people that'll never get any further down the road with God, and they'll never have the touch of God in their life, and they'll never fulfill all the plans that God has for them in their life because they're hung up on some little sin, and it's costing them all the blessings because they can't get past this one little thing. That's just like the church at Corinth. Paul told them, you know, that he, you know, he couldn't speak unto them as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. And really, most of the sins they were messed up with really were little stuff that they should have been long past. And I tell you, most of the sins holding us back today and most of holding a lot of people in good churches back today isn't big stuff, it's little stuff, or what would be considered little stuff anyways. That's it. They spoil the vine. I tell you, there's so much that's being spoiled in so many people's lives and possibly your life because of some little something that you've heard preached and you know. And you, I mean, in your heart, God deals with you about it and you know, but you just won't do it. And I'm telling you, you're going to ruin. It's going to cost you. That sin's going to cost you. I mean, it may not turn into some big, big fall or something like that. But I tell you what, it's costing you all the blessings and all the plans God has for your life because that little thing that you won't give up. Little sins. Sacrifice from sin. But then, the second one, he said his clothes had to be rent. But then notice what it says, and his head bare. His head bare. That speaks of the sorrow from sin. And the reason it speaks from sorrow is because a bared head in the Bible many times was a sign of mourning. They'd bare their head, they'd sprinkle ashes on their head and things like that when they were in mourning. And so it's kind of a sign of mourning. And it spoke of great sorrow. Sin does not bring true joy or happiness. You know that, but we all need to be reminded of that. Amen. It doesn't bring fulfillment or joy or happiness. What it does bring, though, is great sorrow every time. The devil would always have us believe that living for God takes all the fun out of life. You know, that the world, I mean, they're just really living, you know. They're just really enjoying life. And by the way, you've never seen, you know, you've never seen a Super Bowl commercial. You've never seen somebody where the world doesn't make it look like all this stuff is so great. Listen, you'll never see, you know, a beer or a liquor commercial where it looks like everybody's miserable. Even though that's what it makes everybody, right? Even though that's the road it leads down. Listen, they'll never show you that. They're going to show you how fun and how great it is. And everybody's got money and all the men have got women and they've got nice cars and the party's great. And I mean, it's the lavish life, right? And any sin is that way. And, you know, back, you know, before smoking became like the worst thing in the world, you know. Which one? I don't remember which one. They always had those cowboys, you know. Put a cigarette in a cowboy's mouth. Was it Marlboro? Miss Ann knows. Just so everybody knows. She's the one who knows. So, but, you know, they always have cowboys. And they make it look so awesome, right? It's never the way it is. I don't show you that person laid up in the hospital dying of lung cancer. They don't see that person that can't hardly breathe without an oxygen tank because of COPD. And all. They don't show you all that stuff. Right? It always brings great sorrow. And the fact is that when the devil and the world, when they portray living for God and the life, you know, surrendered, submitted to God, portrayed as really sucking all the fun out of life, you know what that really is? That is such an outrageously contradictory lie is what it is. It's just like Miss Beth just saying, listen, you don't know love till you know the love of God. You don't even know life until you know the life that Christ gives you. You don't know anything till you start living for God. That's when real living really starts. And I tell you, if you're not enjoying your Christian walk, either you're not saved or you're not right with God. But the problem is not with Him. The problem is with you. Amen. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. He said, my burden is light. And I tell you, when we get so burdened, when the things of God and living the Christian life become such a burden to us, Jesus isn't the one doing that. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And boy, I tell you, we come dragging in so much, like, man, we just can't take another step because living for God is just so hard. Listen, God's not doing that to you. That's your fault, not His fault. Amen. When church is so dead and it's so dry and it's just such a burden just to get through it, you know, this ain't God's fault. Ain't God's fault. Amen. Because sin is what does that to us, not the Lord. It's not the Christian life taking away people's joy. It's the corrupt life that's taking away people's joy and happiness. It's all this newfound liberty and freedom and pride that everybody has that's making everybody miserable. That's what's doing it. Amen. Did I tell y'all not long ago that I heard just the other day that last year, 2023, was the highest suicide rate in America in recorded history? In a 12-month period, 2023, over 50,000 suicides in America. Listen, that's not the result of America getting more godly. That's right. It is. Listen, it's almost top 10. Almost one of the top 10. I mean, it's right there close to it. Close to one of the top 10 causes of death in America annually. Suicide. People taking their own life. And let me tell you, that is not the result of us getting more godly as a society. That's not the result of revival sweeping through America. That's not the result of strong churches in America. No, listen, the things of God are drying up in this society, and we're not getting happier. We're not getting, you know, more excited about life. People are getting more miserable, and they hate their life, and they're hopeless, and they have no peace, not because they're living for God, but because they're going the way of sin. And they keep thinking that the answer is just more sin. See, sin brings shame. And that's my next point here. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but listen, the people think that the answer is, well, let's get sin out in the open. Let's normalize it and get it out and be proud of our sin. That way, that kind of helps with the shame, right? Then I don't feel so ashamed. Well, what they're finding is they're still ashamed. You can't separate sin and shame. Sin always brings shame and conviction and misery and sorrow in their life. Amen. I'll tell you, a lot of people, they're thinking that if they could just get free, if I could just get free of this church crowd. There are a lot of young people come up in a church like this, and if they could ever just get free, if I can turn 18 or turn 19 and get out of here and get free, well, then I'll finally, I'll really feel, just better. And what they find is that when they go out there, they go down a dead-end road. They find that it's not near where they thought it was going to be. They find that it's not near what it was chalked up to be. They find that it was not near as fulfilling as they thought it would be. How do you know that? Because I did it. I did it. Amen. I went off to college and I thought, man, if I could just get away from all this crowd, and get away from this church crowd and just kind of do my own thing. And I never got into no deep, gross sin, but at the same time, I still kind of just did what I wanted to do, And I wasn't in church because church wasn't in my heart. And I didn't read my Bible because Bible wasn't in my heart. And I just kind of went and ran with the friends I wanted and did whatever I wanted. And I tell you what I found out. I found out that there was empty and there was nothing in it and it's not fulfilling. thing. Listen, it's not near what it's cracked up to be. Amen? It brings sorrow. And so it's not the Christian life taking away people's joys. It's the corrupt life that's taking away people's joys. Sin promises so much happiness, but it only delivers heartaches. It only delivers heartaches. And so sorrow from sin, but then also shame from sin here. The next thing God says about this person with leprosy, He says, "He shall put a covering upon his upper lip." That's kind of an interesting phrase. But that covering on the upper lip, it speaks of shame. And I want to show you a verse in one of the minor prophets in Micah. Turn over to the book of Micah, chapter number 3. That might be a little hard to find. One of the minor prophets, they're pretty close to the end of the New Testament. Micah chapter 3. It's page 1253 in the Rock of Ages Study Bible. Micah chapter 3. I'm going to give you a little bit because I know that's a little bit of a hard one to find. All right. Everybody there? If you're there, say amen. Kelby? Amen. Kelby's there. That's all that matters. Micah chapter 3. Look with me. Let's begin reading in verse number 5. He says, "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, Peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God." All right, so what's taking place here is that God is pronouncing judgment on Israel, and specifically in this passage, He's pronouncing judgment on the prophets. In the first four verses, He's pronouncing judgment on the rulers because the rulers have erred, but then He's pronouncing judgment on the prophets because the prophets have erred and are causing the people to err. Amen? And so He's pronouncing judgment on those prophets for causing the people to err. They're wrong and have led the people wrong. And what He says is, one of the things that He says, He's talking about their shame there towards the end. They're going to be ashamed. And He mentions a few reasons why. He says, you know, talks about how the seers will not see visions. And by the way, that is a shameful thing for a prophet, especially in that day. Because that's what they're there for, to hear from God. You know, to see the will of God and to relay that to the people. But because they were so wrong and so, full of sin and all those things, God says, "I'm not going to talk to them." And that's a shameful thing for a prophet. That's just like a preacher today. I mean, a man who God's, you know, because he's so wrong in his heart that God's not talking to him and God's not giving him the message for the people. That's a shameful thing. Amen. That's why the Bible talks about how, Paul talked about, told Timothy, talk about studying and all those things and walking with God, that it might be seen, that others might see it, It's a shameful thing. And so part of their shame is that God was not going to talk to them, wasn't going to give them visions, wasn't going to show them. And He said they would cover their lips. And the reason they would cover their lips, what God is saying is, He's not going to talk through them. He's not going to give. It is as if their mouths are covered because they're not able to give the Word of God. And that's a shameful thing for a prophet. And so back in our text, Leviticus 13, the Lord is drawing off of that and showing the shame that will be involved with leprosy. Their lip would be covered, the covering of the lip. And so it speaks of the shame of leprosy, and leprosy speaks of sin, so it speaks of the shame of sin. Sin brings so much shame. Listen, it doesn't matter how loud and proud the world tries to make it and how much we try to glory in it. When the sun goes down in the deep recesses of your soul, when God is talking to you, it's going to bring shame into your heart. Listen, we were not created to bear shame or to bear sin. Humanity wasn't created, wasn't designed to bear. We were designed to do the will of God. So when we sin, listen, we're doing something that is outside of the what we were created to do and be, and it just messes us up. It brings shame into our heart. And sin promises honor, but it only ever delivers shame. And the greatest shame will be at the judgment before the throne of God. We have to stand there. And a lot of people, you know, they may mock godliness if they will, but it's actually sin that'll bring people down and low in shame, not godliness. Sin does that. Let me hurry. Let me finish. Give you this last point. Leviticus 13, verse 45, we find the soiling from sin. Sin soils you. The very last thing he says that leper when they're walking was to cry, unclean, unclean. To announce to anyone that would be approaching that I am defiled, I am dirty. Stay back, keep a safe distance, get too close, and I'll defile you too. You know, sinners still cry out the same way now, if you'll listen. If you got enough sense to listen, if you got enough sense to see it, sin still cries out the same way in sinners' lives now. See, a person's lifestyle cries out and says that if you get too close, I'll defile you too. Amen. Listen, a lot of young men wound up marrying some wicked Jezebel, but if they'd have just listened, that their life was crying out. They listened, you get too close, I'm going to defile you too. But they didn't listen, and so they did get defiled. A lot of young ladies been married out of the will of God, and that boy's life the whole time was crying out, unclean, unclean, stay back. I'll defile you too if you get too close. But they did it anyways. They got defiled. A lot of people had friends in their life that they let get too close. They get too close. And their life was crying out the whole time, unclean, unclean, stay back, stay back. But they didn't listen to the preacher, didn't listen to God, didn't listen to good counsel, didn't listen to their conscience. They got too close and they got defiled too. Sin still cries out that same way. Sin defiles and it dirties the sinner. It shows up on the sinner. And leprosy is repeatedly referred to in the Bible as uncleanness. Anytime anyone was cured of leprosy, it's usually reported that they were now clean in the Scriptures. And sin's the same way. When sin is forgiven, the Bible often speaks of cleansing. He will cleanse us. Isn't that what he said in 1 John? That if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, I'm glad we can be forgiven and can be cleansed of sin, aren't you? But don't ever forget what sin really looks like. Listen, the devil and the world packages it so well and makes it look so good and harmless. Brother Ernest mentioned that those little foxes that spoil the vine. Listen, what's more harmless and adorable than a baby fox? A little fox. And that's just the way that sin gets packaged today. Something so harmless and desirable. But don't ever forget what sin really looks like. God will tell you, God will show you. If you ever, if the world of flesh and devil has ever got you tempted to go down some way and you're weighing it out, listen, look no further than leprosy if you want to see what the end of that thing's going to be. It might seem like in your mind it's all going to play out fine, but listen, God shows us exactly what it's going to look like if you go down that road. Don't ever forget what sin really looks like. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for helping us with it tonight. I pray that you'll take it and use it and help us all, Lord, to be, Lord, very sober, very honest, and Lord, very real with what sin really looks like. Lord, I pray for anyone here tonight, Lord, that, Lord, maybe their future is weighed in the balance. Lord, they've got something or someone before them, and Lord, they're thinking about it. They're considering. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would give them a real vision of what sin really looks like. And Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our heart. And Lord, I pray anyone here tonight, Lord, if there's sin in our life, Lord, that we'd confess it. Lord, get cleansed, get clean, Lord, before, Lord, that sin costs so much. Lord, I pray that you'd have your perfect will and way on the altar call. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.